welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me as we are recording this for Saturday, July 15th, 2017. I'm very grateful you are with me, and I'm extremely grateful to those who write me, offer their questions, their comments. I want to thank you for going to the website at aspire.org and doing that. You have no idea how important that is, because everything you write helps someone else. It's about serving humankind here. And when you write something that has to do with the idea of, your questions, maybe something that is plaguing you or something you've wanted to know that I might be able to help you with, and you share that, you help many people. And I want to thank my sponsors right away for their loving support. It is only through their tax-deductible gifts that I'm able to continue, and I hope that some of you will join us and become sponsors, especially if you're finding these radio programs at all helpful or my TV programs on the website at aspire.org. I want to thank you, my sponsors, and maybe some of you would care to help. It would really be marvelous if you did. Your donations go to pay for airtime, and they are used to serve humankind in many different ways. They allow me to go to hospice and serve there as I do most every week, and just to make the TV programs possible for you so you can sit and watch them and listen to these radio programs 24/7. All of this is because of your generosity and your loving kindness. So I'm asking you, if you're enjoying the programs, if you find them helpful, I hope you will become a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org and go take a look at support. If you hit that button, a pull-down menu will come up, and it will say to you why support Aspire. And there's a lot of information there. Tell you all about where your donations go and what it's all about. Okay? Help us. Do something really selfless and powerful. Okay, let's talk about the voices. Yes, these voices. I hear people tell me about their voices in their heads, the things that haunt them, the things that tell them what to think, say, and do. They give impressions of who and what we are, and often these voices are voices of discontent and unhappiness, because basically what we have done with our life and with our living is we have made our life and our living a matter of our parents, people who were raising us when we were, of course, younger, and deciding upon what was going to be important or who we are or what we are and all of that. And usually it has to do with affection. So how much affection a person got or how much time they got to spend with a parent, and the caring and the tenderness that either did or did not get involved in all of that becomes the absolute blueprint for a person's adult life. So I get a lot of these kinds of emails, and I'm going to share a few of them with you today in hopes that I'm able to help the people who wrote and those of you who are listening. It's important. The first question comes from Jill in Sacramento. How do I not react, Greg, to the childhood I had? How do I keep the voices from overtaking me? I hear them 24/7, and they are the biggest impression I have and have been my greatest downfall, Jill. If I tell you the answer to this, Jill, you're not going to like me, and you're not going to like what I have to say, and you're not going to believe me anyway. I have been teaching for 44 years now, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to ignore this. But I'm going to answer your question. You're not going to like it. You're going to think I'm nuts, which I am probably. And you are going to think that everything I'm saying here is BS, okay? But here it is. Jill, every time you took a cookie or you pleasured yourself through food or alcohol or drugs or sex or entertainment or whatever, all through your life, you were supporting the voices. You were making them go stronger and stronger. So when you heard a voice and you ate a cookie when you were little or were given a cookie, and it kind of made the message, you know, fade away into the background a little bit, you learned something. You said to yourself, without knowing it, gratification makes all this go away. So you don't hear the voices quite as strongly. Oh, you hear them, but not quite as strongly as you once did. Then as time goes on, you need something stronger, stronger than a cookie. And maybe it's a bowl of pasta or a big piece of chocolate cake. Typically, it becomes alcohol or drugs eventually, until you get to the point where you're so drugged out, either on food or on sex or on alcohol or on pills or marijuana, that's all you need. I mean, you can't function without it because you have learned not to deal with the voices, but to make them seem to fade away. But they only fade away for a little while. They do come back. And if you start thinking that in some way you can make them go away and they'll never return, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. Because they're going to come back stronger and stronger and stronger. So what to do? Well, the thing to do is you're going to have to fast from the things that made it possible for you to think that you were pushing away these voices through eating, drinking, smoking, or drugging. Now, you're not going to like that. Everybody's, I think, got their drug. And for some people, it is stuff they put in their mouth. It's a substance. And for other people, it's movies or whatever it is that makes the voices go away, makes us think that these issues that we have within us don't exist. They only exist in the human nature of us. They really don't exist, but I make them exist because I want to believe that whatever my human nature is telling me, whatever my thoughts are telling me, those things are real. So I want to get involved in those things. I want to think about those things. I want to churn them over and over and over again. And you can't replace the thoughts with affirmations because that doesn't work. So this just keeps going and going. It never stops. And though you and I would love to have it stop, it won't stop. The only way to deal with it in the beginning phases, Jill, is you have to stop gratifying yourself every time you hear the message. And I don't know how old you are, but I am sure you've been doing this for a long time. And getting off the drug, getting off of the fear, getting off the anger, getting off of the marijuana or getting off of the alcohol or the pills or whatever you use. I don't know what you use. Whatever you use to make it all fade away, food, you're going to have to curb it. Now, here is where we get into the nitty-gritty. Most people do not have the courage. They don't have the insight to look at it and go, this is an issue within me. I see what he's talking about. And hence develop the discipline not to do those things that hurt us. Discipline is just me not doing those things that hurt me. That's it. And if I am set in my ways and I don't want to give up those things that hurt me because I actually enjoy them, I actually find favor in them, I actually feel good about doing them, I won't do it. And that's the issue. So you stay in this circle of pain and sorrow, over and over and over again. It doesn't go away because you want it to. Oh, just go away. It won't. You have to do something physiologically, mentally, and even emotionally to begin to have the ability to step back far enough to see what it is you're doing to yourself. And if you can see that and recognize that, much will happen. I've had a lot of people in my life come to me, Jill, and tell me they wanted to liberate themselves from all of this, but they could never do it because they just didn't really want to do it. It wasn't that they didn't have the capacity to do it. They just were so stuck in their ways and lazy, they wouldn't do it. We like our hate and we like our fear. And it doesn't go away because I say I want it to. I told you you wouldn't like my answer, Jill. I hope you will forgive me, though. Namaste. Psychologists, psychiatrists, they all know that people don't change. They also know that the only way to help a person who is struggling is to give them a drug to replace the drug that is their drug. And it just keeps going and going and nothing ever really changes. But people like to believe it is if they take a pill and those voices are kind of in the background. I used to say to my students years ago when I was teaching formally, if you were as passive towards your thoughts as you are what I'm teaching you, you'd be enlightened by now. And they all used to giggle and laugh about that. It was no laughing matter. And I was dead serious, but they couldn't hear it. The next question comes from Justin in Texas. That's where he says he's from. Can I live without my parents' voices scaring me all the time? Telling me I'm not this and I should be that. Justin. Well, Justin, that's up to you. Yes, you can live without their message, their prophecy of you. Of course you can. But will you? I mean, you've got to see how deeply woven these messages are in your head. How deeply woven they are into your psyche. Of course, yes, you can. But will you? I mean, really, will you? Will you go deeper? Will you sustain a sense of discipline not to allow these things to be a part of your life, a part of what you believe in? Is that what you're going to be willing to do? I doubt it. Here's the problem, the genetic makeup of us. There's this point I see in people where they can recognize that there is a genetic trait that they have that is unhealthy to their living. They see it. They actually see it. They see that, oh yeah, I'm doing the same thing as my mother and same thing as my father. But they won't do anything about it. And they get scared at anyone, such as myself, who is pointing it out to them and saying, you can do something about it. You can do it. You don't have to sit there and bitch all the time. You can do it. But they don't want to hear that. They listen to it, but they don't really want to hear it. Why? Because there are so many gratifications that are connected like tentacles to the parts of ourselves that we just simply do not care for, the parts of ourselves that are undermining us and creating sorrow and pain in our life. We just keep them going and going and going. We don't change them. We just keep them going. So because we won't change them and because we don't see any reason to associate what our gratifications are about with the things of ourselves we don't care for, we just sit in this stew and we simmer in the self-hatred of it until we're absolutely cooked and the impossible becomes the impossible. The difficult becomes the impossible, as Lao Tzu said. And nothing changes. I sit here with you on this beautiful morning with headphones on and my recording instruments moving and doing, trying to help you understand the nature of what it is that is truly bothering you. Justin, your parents are not the voice of your life. I am trying to remind you through this little thing called radio that your voice is your way of life, whatever you speak within yourself, your own voice. And if your voice is their voice, if you have made your voice their voice, then nothing I say here through this microphone is going to help you. Nothing. You have to see it for yourself. You do not have to live in this genetic code. Yes, your body lives in the genetic code, in DNA as well. But the fact that you can see it should be enough to liberate you from it. Do you want to live your parents' life? Do you want to live by their opinions? When is a parent's love no longer love anymore? When is it what they say is no longer love anymore when they're telling you you're a this-a or you're a that-a? When is your inner voice going to be relevant to you? I sit here as a voice. I have never met you. We're talking from Carmel, California to Texas. When is my voice going to be heard? When are you going to get it? When? How? If? How is that going to work for you? It all depends on whether or not you're going to allow your emotionality to dictate to you the scheme of your life, the meaning of your life. And if you allow their voice to be who you are, then you did not live your life. You did not live in the beauty of your life. You did not live in the kindness of your life. You did not live in the totality of your heart. You have options. You always have options in this life. You don't have to live the way you are thinking. You don't have to live according to their opinions. You don't have to. You can find your authentic. And your authentic is in your heart. Not your human heart, your real heart, your bigger heart, your authentic heart. And should you understand the nature of that and the beauty of that, you will smile. You are far more beautiful than you imagine. There is a depth, a clarity, a beauty to you that you have yet to discover. And to allow two people who obviously made you in the image of their own likeness and live their life through your livingness is really silly. I wouldn't do it at all. I didn't do it at all. Oh, I feel Ed and Jean in there banging around, my parents, but when it comes down to the crucifixion of Gregory, via Ed and Jean Penn, my parents, I don't go there. And you shouldn't either. There comes a time when you have to leave the house, leave the farm. Justin, don't allow this to happen to yourself. You are far more than you might imagine, but you will never know it until you've allowed love, real love, to touch your life. It is only in love that we find our real relevance, both to ourselves and to the world. How hard it is to teach that. Please forgive me. Namaste. You would think it would be easy, but it is not. People insist upon their little nest. They burrow into their self-hatred, their family, their emotionality of the family, and they never come out because they're afraid to. They're afraid to be alone. Man disease and woman disease and all the things that we cop to that we shouldn't. We don't need to. We don't need to. Some people, though, want to do it, so you have to let them do it. The last question comes from Luke Skywalker. How does the who of me find the true part of me? This is a great question, Luke. The who and the me doesn't matter because there is no who and there is no me. You are a matter of the is. So until you understand your isness, until you are ready to enter into isness, which is a mind that is no longer in dualistic thinking, a mind no longer seeking to consider right from wrong, good from bad, a mind that exists purely as emptiness. You find that emptiness through silence, through meditation, and a whole new existence opens up for you. There are people who are loyal to causes and movements, and they have their place in this world. They don't do much with their life. They do not do much with their inwardness, their inward living. And they have no more gumption to do anything more with themselves than just be a part of a movement or a belief or whatever. And then there are those who are not content with this kind of life, who take it further and deeper and further and deeper. And these are the people that seek actual change in their life, authentic change. They are the ones who are not searching for a me, a who, or a my. They discover something quite different. They discover what I call the isness of us all, where we become the is and the all of our is. Is has started many, many eons ago, beyond time, and it will never end. You are that which never ends. You are that which is so absolutely eternal and always under the guise and the beauty of impermanence. And once this is accepted in a person, they can do many wonderful things with their life. You can do many wonderful things with your life. Let love live you. I say this to you over and over and over again. Let love. Be relevant only to love. Don't fight your unconscious. Don't beat a dead horse. Go deeper into yourself and deeper. And don't waste time. You don't have it. There is really no such thing as time. There just is this moment that we are in right now. It looks like there's time, but time is the passing of thoughts, and that's what makes it look like it's time. That's another story altogether. I won't get into it, but that's another story. Maybe one of you will ask a question, I can do it. If you want to find the authentic in you, find it through silence. It is only through silence that everything is answered. Thank you for your beautiful question, Luke. Bless you. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org, aspire.org, and there you will see media. If you click on that, you'll see Satsang with Siraj, that be me, and you can send me an email right from the website. Have a beautiful day. I'll be back tomorrow. Please forgive me. Namaste.